For we preach not ourselves, but Christ Jesus the Lord, and ourselves your servants for Jesus' sake. Hello, friends. Thanks for listening today to the podcast of Ripley Baptist Temple. I pray that the message today will be a help and a blessing to you and to your family. Now join us as we listen to the Word of God from the pulpit of Ripley Baptist Temple. Psalm 107, and I want to begin reading in verse 21. I'll say a few words at the end of the service about some other things, but Psalm 107, verse 21. The Bible says, "Oh, that men would praise the Lord. Oh, that men would praise the Lord. But oh, that men would praise the Lord for His goodness and for His wonderful works to the children of men. Let them sacrifice," it says, "the sacrifices of thanksgiving, and declare His works with rejoicing. They that go down to the sea in ships, that do business in great waters, they see the works of the Lord and His wonders in the deep." I preached on that some time ago. And it says, "For He commandeth and raiseth the stormy wind, which lifted up the waves thereof. They mount up to the heaven, they go down again to the depths. Their soul is melted because of trouble. They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man, and are at their wit's end. Then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and He bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still." Then, verse 30, "Then are they glad because they be quiet. So He bringeth them unto their desired haven." Notice in verse 28, He brings them out of their distresses and brings them unto their desired haven. He brings them out of their distresses and brings them unto their desired haven. I preached all over this chapter. I don't know that you'd ever get to the end of it. And I've got a couple of messages I preached on here, His wonders in the deep, and some other messages I preached from this passage. But I want us to notice that phrase in verse 27, where the psalmist said, "They reel to and fro and stagger like a drunken man." And notice, "and are at their wit's end." They're at their wit's end. I want to bring a message on that very phrase this morning. Are you at your wit's end? If you are, that's a good thing. And let's bow our heads in prayer. Heavenly Father, I thank You that the blood covered it all. Thank You for grace and mercy and love. Thank You for Jesus. I pray that You'll bless this message. Those, Lord, have come to their wit's end, that, Lord, they're just at the end of their self. I pray, God, that they'd find You today. In Jesus' name, amen. The Bible uses a phrase here in verse 27. It speaks of Israel here. It speaks of those that they've gone to and fro. It kind of, really, Psalm 107 gives a panoramic historical view of all that the people of God had endured down through their history up till this time. It really gives a history of God's moving through Israel and in Israel. Look in the first 8 verses of Psalm 107. He says, "Oh, give thanks unto the Lord, for He is good, His mercy endureth forever. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so, whom He hath redeemed from the hand of the enemy, and gathered them out of the lands, from the east and from the west and from the north and from the south. They wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. Hungry and thirsty, their soul fainted in them. Then they cried unto the Lord in their trouble, and He delivered them out of their distresses. He led them forth by the right way." That really gives us, I think, a summarization of Israel. They're up, they're down, they're in, they're out, they're hot, they're cold. They're rejoicing, they're despairing. And though America's not Israel and the church's not Israel, we can't make that distinction at all. Some have tried. But I can't help but say that there are some parallels here as we look at Psalm 107. It seems today that people really are there. They're at their wit's end. Why did God do all of this in their lives? I think He did it through it all. God's purpose in it all was found in Psalm 107, verse 8. Oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness, for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 15, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 21, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. Verse 31, oh, that man would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. That really, I think, it says it all. When God was done with them, God wanted them to be able to say that we want to praise God for your goodness and for your wonderful works to the children of men. We want to thank you for your goodness, your faithfulness, your mercy, and your love. But through it all, but they didn't find him till they came to their wits' end. They didn't have to get that far. I looked up maybe a definition of that phrase, wits' end. It means to be utterly at a loss or near breaking point. Unable to see your way ahead. I think of that verse there in Psalm where the psalmist said, when my heart was overwhelmed, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. I think what the psalmist was saying, when I'm at my wit's end, lead me to the rock that's higher than I. Rescue me when I'm overwhelmed, when I'm at my wit's end, when there's no way out, when I've come to a breaking point, when I've come to loss, I'm unable to see my way ahead. Paul said, I'm pressed, but I'm not in despair. I'm perplexed, but I realize that God is with me through all of this. And he's saying here, I don't see a way ahead. Israel didn't see a way ahead. They were like a drunken man staggered out there in the darkness. People today seem to be no different. Many are at their wits' end. They're just at their wits' end. Sadly, many, if not most, have not experienced the greatness of God and the grace of God and the goodness of God as we read Israel had in Psalm 107. No wonder people act the way they do. We should not be surprised when people act like sinners and do sinful things. The daily news is a testament to our nation's drifting from God. And I'm not going to read the headlines again because you see that every day. But they're at their wit's end. Verse 27. Actually, notice, I think in verse 27, notice the apostrophe there. Now, that's not inspired, the punctuation, but notice they're at their wit's end, apostrophe S. Really ought to be S apostrophe. Sometimes here in the office we get into debates about punctuation grammar. Connie Strickland hammered me on those things. And, you know, where's the direct object? Where's the, and all of that. Wits is plural. He didn't say, I've come to my wit end, my one wit. He said, you've come to your wit's end. You've come to all of your wit, everything you could try, everything you could introduce, everything you were leaning on other than God, everything that you thought was wise and smart and creative. You've come to all of your wits. You count them all up, however how many there are. You've come to the end of your wits, plural. That's where they were. Mankind, I mean, we're not at the end of our one wit, but at the end of our many wits. Mankind has tried and failed to get by on his own. But yet, I'll remind you, the Bible says there's a way that seems right unto man, but the end thereof are the ways of death. Intellectualism is a dead end. Emotionalism is a dead end. Environmentalism is a dead end. Materialism is a dead end. Evolution is a dead end. Humanism is a dead end. Agnosticism, it's a dead end. And when people get to their wits' end, they'll find God if they're looking. All of their efforts to solve their problems were frustrating. All of their efforts to solve their problems were ineffective. And Israel tried it all, didn't they? They tried the gods. They tried to borrow the gods as they traveled to the land of Canaan. They borrowed the gods of those that they conquered, and it didn't work. But notice when they came to that verse 27, They're reeling to and fro. They're staggering like a drunken man. They're at their wits' end. Notice in verse 28, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble. Why does God allow trouble to come? So that we might come to our wits' end and find Him there waiting in the shadows. Really waiting in the brightness, because He is the light. Notice of the Israelites, and I think of us today across our land, the Israelites were a wandering people. Look in verse 4 of Psalm 107. It says they wandered in the wilderness in a solitary way. They found no city to dwell in. They were a wandering people. Notice they were traveling and wandering around in a solitary way. I mean, when anyone leaves their spiritual routine of life, when people leave their regular routines of life, it throws them a kilter. These last 2 years have not been good for America. You say, well, it's hurt my pocketbook. I know that. But it's not been good for us emotionally. It's not been good for our families. It's not been good for our churches. It should have been a strengthening time for a church. I think in many ways it has been. But we've become a wandering people, fighting and fussing about things that we ought not fight and fuss about. You say, how are we a wandering people? I think just in the last 2 years, for example, from July to October of 2020, the divorce rate in America climbed 34%. I think due to the pandemic, people being home, getting reintroduced to their husband or wife. I don't mean to laugh at that, but people getting out of their routines. God has a natural order of things. We're to work. Any man won't work, neither shall he eat. Man is laid up for the last couple of years, and people have gotten used to that, and many enjoy it. I had an employer the other day say, you know, he said, I didn't have very many employees, but they quit because they could make more. They could make $600 a week. That's more than I could pay them. And people have come home and they have no routine, and they've become lazy, and they have no purpose, and they've lost their way. And in 2021, the homicide rate in America has gone up 49% in 34 U.S. cities. I think that's a little low, but that's the one that I read. Physical abuse of school-aged children. Physical abuse, not counting the sexual abuse of the perverts and the pedophiles. The physical abuse of school-aged children has tripled in the early months of the pandemic. We saw it on our bus routes. I mean, I saw on the news people being arrested for abusing children in some of the areas where we run bus routes. That breaks my heart. By August of 2020, the average church, and that's, we came back in May of 2020 to end service meeting here on site. But by August of 2020, the average Protestant church, and we're not Protestant, we're Baptist, but you know what I'm saying, the average church saw 69% of their attendance back. In other words, 30 to 35% had not returned as of then. I think we're wandering. I think the church as a whole, and I think our nation as a whole, we're a wandering people like the Israelites in a solitary way. We've lost our purpose. And problems occur when we lose our routine, we lose our spiritual routine, we don't fulfill our roles within the home and our communities. Not only were they a wandering people, but they were a longing people. Look in verse 9, the scripture says in Psalm 107, for he satisfieth the longing soul and filleth the hungry soul with goodness. Israel were longing. It said that God filled their hungry soul with goodness. Mankind today and Americans today have a huge gaping hole in their heart, and they're trying to fill it with everything but God. They were a longing people. If you're longing today, I want you to know that God will fill your soul with rest. God will fill your soul with salvation. God will fill your soul. He'll replace the emptiness with fullness. He'll replace the barrenness with fruitfulness. God will replace the deadness with life. God will replace the sadness with joy. They were a longing people. They were a wandering people. They were at their wit's end. Notice number three, they were rebellious people. In verse 11, the scripture says, because they rebelled against the words of God. Sounds like our nation today. And condemned the counsel of the Most High. They despised the counsel of the Most High. They said, we don't need to hear from God. We're smarter than God. Let's build a tower to Babel. How'd that work out? They were rebellious people. And it says in verse 10, in darkness, in the shadow of death, they were bound in affliction. They were bound in iron, bound up by that. They rejected God's counsel. America's rejected the counsel of God. Today is the National Sanctity of Life Day. Today is the National Right to Life Sunday for our nation. We always kind of rejoiced in that our son was born on that day, January 22nd. Well, yesterday was. But today is the National Right to Life Sunday. And I think about that. I think about what the scripture says very, very clearly. It says, thou shalt not kill. Very clearly. It says, therefore choose life. The sanctity of life is so important. There's a bill before our legislature right now, and thank God we finally have some conservatives there in the legislature that are representing the constituents, and thankful we're able we've been able to stop abortion in the state of West Virginia at 20 weeks, and now we're trying to back it up to 15 weeks. I long for the day where it will all be ended. They were rebellious people. The baby killers have stopped debating on when life begins because they've lost that argument, and they know it. They've made it a civil rights issue and all of that. But what about the rights of the baby? Who they need someone to speak for them. Pray for us as we'll be going down to the legislature on Tuesday to speak and to pray with our legislators. But at 15 weeks, you say, what about a baby at 15 weeks? A baby at 15 weeks is the size of a pear or an orange in your hand. A little baby. A little baby with a skeleton that's visible. A little baby with blood vessels that are visible. A little baby that's 4 inches long and 2.5 to 3 ounces weight. At 15 weeks, it's curling its toes. They're moving their arms. They're moving their legs. The baby is working on sucking and swallowing motions. At 15 weeks, the baby's heart is beating. It's a life within the womb. And America has said no to God. They're a rebellious people, and they're saying, we'd rather walk in the darkness and the shadow of death. We're bound, and I think we're bound in our affliction as iron. May God help us to protect life in our nation again. We see the home being attacked in our home, in our nation. We're a rebellious people. We've redefined the home. When God said, therefore shall a man leave his father and his mother and shall cleave unto his wife, and they shall be one flesh. Marriage is between a man and a woman. That's God's definition of marriage. We see God's divine order of working and earning and saving and giving. We see God's definition of sin. We see God's definition of the origin of man, that God created man in His own image. In the image of God created He them. We see our nation drifting from the moorings of our belief in God and faith in God. They were rebellious people. In darkness and the shadow of death, they rejected the counsel of the living God. And when a nation does that, they'll find themselves at their wits' end. Because they have no answer. They have no peace. They have nothing to fill that vacuum when you kick God out of all of your life. Number four, they were sin-loving people. In Psalm 107, verse 17, He says fools because of their transgression. When God calls a man a fool, he's a fool. And he says fools because of their transgressions or their sin and because of their iniquities, they're afflicted. He said they're foolish people. Psalm 14, God said the fool has said in his heart there is no God. Literally what he's saying there, the fool has said in his heart no God. Fool has said no to God. And when America said that, America was on her way down. He said in Psalm 14, they are corrupt. They have done abominable works. There's none that doeth good. The Lord looketh down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any that did understand and seek God. But they're all gone aside. They're all together become filthy. There's none that doeth good, no, not one. Have all the workers of iniquity no knowledge? Who eat up my people as they eat bread and call not upon the Lord. They're at their wits' end. No wonder our nation. No wonder people are doing crazy things. No wonder we see the violence and the crime rate going up. And no wonder we see men and women doing things that are unseemly and are condemned in the scriptures. Because they're a sin-loving people. A sin-loving people. But God was willing to deliver them. Look over in Psalm 106 and verse 23. It says, therefore he said that he would destroy them. Had not Moses his chosen stood before him in the breach to turn away his wrath, lest he should destroy them. You say, how can we save America? Be an intercessor like Moses. Yea, they despise the pleasant land. They believe not his word, Psalm 106, verse 24, but murmured in their tents and hearkened not unto the voice of the Lord. God says, stand back, Moses. I'm going to destroy these people that I've created. And Moses said, oh, no, God, don't do that. Don't do that. I still believe America can be saved. But I believe America has gone from uncleanness to vile affections, and we're teetering as a nation on a reprobate mind. I mean, we've recognized as a nation legally same-sex marriage. And I said it wouldn't be long before the transgenders would be lining up, and they are. Now you have to go with your children into the bathroom. God help us. Now the perverts, the pedophile perverts who have a new name for themselves to try to introduce themselves to the nation that we're not that bad and God made us this way. Let me tell you something, friend. God never made anyone that way. That is a wicked, wicked, perverse choice by mankind. You can read Romans 1 and understand all of that. But I'm simply saying, listen, they've run out of the alphabet. LGBTQ and plus, and now they have the maps and all of that. I'm telling you, friend, it's not stopping there. And America is spiraling away from God, but in all of that, God is willing to forgive. I don't understand that. They despise the pleasant land. They hearken not unto the voice of the Lord. Moses, his chosen, stood before him in the breach. May God give us some men of God and some women of God that will stand before God for our nation and stand in the breach. Say, oh God, stay your hand of judgment upon our nation. God, save our nation because of our children. We don't deserve it. Whatever the age, the people, the background, the answer from God is consistently the same. God said, I'll forgive you. I don't understand that. In Psalm 107, verse 28, he says this, then they cry unto the Lord in their trouble, and he bringeth them out of their distresses. He maketh the storm a calm, so that the waves thereof are still. You say, I'm at my wit's end. I'm at my wit's end, preacher. Well, read these verses with me. Then are they glad because they be quiet, so he bringeth them unto their desired haven. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness. We don't deserve God's grace. But I want you to know, God is consistently the same. He's a righteous God. He's not a vindictive God. But he is a God of judgment. He's consistently the same. He loves you, and he wants to forgive you of your sin. Let me give you three thoughts here today. Look at verse 42. What happens when, We come to our wits' end and we turn to God. He said, verse 42, first of all, the righteous rejoice because of it. Look at verse 42. The righteous shall see it and rejoice. The righteous shall see it and rejoice. When we come to our end, he's just beginning. When we come to our end. Secondly, the sinful man is quieted and humbled. Look in verse 42. It says, the righteous shall see it and rejoice, and all iniquity shall stop her mouth. There'll be a day when every mouth will be stopped. God's going to look at this world, the rebels of this world, and say, shut up. And they're going to bow their knee before God. And they're going to recognize Him as Jesus Christ, the name above all names. And they'll fall down before Him at the name of Jesus, every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of the Father. The righteous will rejoice. The sinful man will be quieted. And the wise man will understand it. Notice in verse 43, whoso is wise and will observe these things, even they shall understand the loving kindness of the Lord. The fool will reject it. But the one who comes to their wits' end will accept it. Look, if you will, over in Psalm 106 and verse 44. It says, nevertheless, he regarded their affliction. When he heard their cry, he remembered for them his covenant and repented according to the multitude of his mercies. He's speaking of Israel here. When they turned their back on God and Moses interceded, notice what happened. It says he regarded their affliction. He remembered his covenant. He repented according to the multitude of his mercies. God forgave them and restored them. Now, if he'll do that for Israel, what would he do for us? I believe he'd do the same. It's a dangerous thing when a nation turns its back on God. It's a dangerous thing when an individual turns their back on God. I read this story yesterday, and I think it fits here. And I think when we come to our wits' end, I think God really says, I think I can do something in their life now. I'll tell you a story before I read this story. I was talking to Tom Price yesterday, Tom and Susie. We love Tom and Susie and thank God for them and miss them greatly here at the church. And Tom was, we were talking about these things that are going on in our nation. And Tom said, I'll tell you, I'm glad for the faithfulness of God and the grace of God and the forgiveness of God. God answers prayer. And he said he'd had a sickness some time ago, a year or two ago. Many of you were aware of that. And he was in such pain, he said, I've never been in pain like that in all my life. And he said, many a night I cried out to God and asked God, oh God, help me. Oh God, heal me, help me, relieve me. Nothing would relieve him of the pain. And he said, finally one night, he said, I don't know that it was any different than the other night, but he said, I just came to God. And he said, God, I can't go on. I cannot go forward. I can't take it anymore. And he said, God allowed me to go to sleep that night. He said, I woke up the next morning and didn't have one bit of pain. And I thought about that and I thought, he came to his wit's end. He came to the end of himself. And God, I mean, it was not that sin was in his life, but just that God just said, all right, I'll lift your burden. Cast thy burden upon the Lord and he'll sustain thee. I don't know where you are today with God, but I'll tell you, when you just push yourself aside, and you say, God, there's nothing I have to offer, nothing in my hands I bring, simply to the cross I cling. Maybe you're a sinner here today without God and without hope in this world, Ephesians 2:12. Why don't you come to God today at your wit's end and just admit it. Swallow your stinking pride and just say to God, oh God, I can't do it. Save me, Jesus. Let him do it. Aaron Burr, as you remember, served as the third vice president of the United States. He did not serve significantly or honestly. But Aaron Burr, many don't know this, was the grandson of Jonathan Edwards, the great revivalist preacher in the Great Awakening. He was the grandson of Jonathan Edwards. And although Aaron Burr never knew his grandfather because he died when he was a young boy, he had a godly heritage. But Aaron Burr walked away from that godly heritage. And late in life, Aaron Burr said this, 60 years ago, I told God that if he would let me alone, I would let him alone. And God has not bothered about me since. I read that and chills went across my arms. Aaron Burr got what he wanted, but it was a tragic mistake. Aaron Burr said, even with a godly heritage, he said, God, if you'll leave me alone, I'll leave you alone. Leave me alone, God. And I want you to know God's a gentleman. He stands at the door and knocks. If any man opens the door, he'll come in. But if you say, God, let me alone, God will let you alone. I don't know where that line is that you cross, but don't you come near that line. Why don't you come to God today through Jesus Christ, His Son, and ask Him to save you. Come to your wit's end. Come to your wit's end. You may have great personality. You may have great Bible knowledge. You may have church membership. You may have many things. You might have great social standing in our community. I don't know what you have, but why don't you come to the end of yourself today and say, oh God, forgive me. Save me. You that are saved, come to your wit's end. Put on the armor of God. Get filled with the Spirit. Get your sins confessed. Get thoroughly right with God. The righteous will rejoice in it. The sinful man will be humbled by it. The wise man will understand it.